Good morning. To continue our study of The Art of Spiritual Healing by Joel S. Goldsmith, we're going to go with Chapter 13, A New Concept of Supply. This is a large, long chapter, so let's see how far we can get. He begins with, supply is one of the easiest demonstrations that a spiritual student can make. And then he says, spiritually, there is no way to demonstrate supply. Isn't that odd? It's one of the easiest demonstrations to make. But spiritually, there is no way to demonstrate supply. Well, how can both of those things be true? Ah, what supply is he talking about? There is no supply. Well, he says it cannot be done because all the supply that exists in heaven or on earth exists within you at this very moment. There is no supply outside of your being. If you want to enjoy the abundance of supply, you must open out a way for that supply to escape. How can you loose this supply? By giving will be revealed to you in your communion with God. And there, right there, is the entire principle. You loose your abundant supply by giving. When someone calls upon you for help in gaining a consciousness of supply and seeks instruction, it is legitimate and necessary to call this to his attention. You can begin to gain this consciousness of supply by trying to find something you can give. Some place where you have not been giving. Not to your family, because you are probably doing that already. But to someone who is not a member of your family. Or even to someone who, at the moment, is your enemy. Now that's interesting. Start the flow of giving and you will start the flow of supply. Now I've had a lot of people write to me at different times that they are experiencing lack and limitation and they need help. And I tell them, you must begin to pour. You've got to pour out. And I don't know, maybe they think I'm just fishing for a donation or something, but I'm not. I'm telling them the principle straight up. If you want supply, you have to pour out. And he'll explain it thoroughly in this chapter. As you begin to release the forms of supply and develop an attitude of giving rather than of getting, the supply will begin to flow. There is no limit to what a spiritual student can begin to give away. This giving away has no relationships to amounts, to the number of dollars, or of anything else. Giving has to do with the degree of givingness. It is the acknowledgement that supply is giving out, not gathering in. It may begin with the giving up of some things, the giving up of resentment, jealousy, or hate. Give in the realization that it is not what you get that is your supply, it is what you give. Now, I also tell individuals, you don't have to give money if you haven't got any. You can give prayers. You can give love. You can give acts of service, but you must begin to pour out. From what? From your consciousness. You must pour out from within. And he brings up an interesting concept, spiritual idea. You can give up resentments, hatred, prejudice. You can give up your resentments. Now, I hear a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. Some are saying that Biden, President Biden, is the worst thing that ever happened to this country. And some are saying former President Trump is the worst thing that could ever happen to this country. Now, they can't both be right, but if they're experiencing lack, they need to turn within and find out, how can I give up this hatred? How can I give up this resentment toward this individual or toward this party? Because in giving up, you are also pouring out. If you give up resentment and you stand still long enough, you will be pouring out of the silence. The silence. No resentment, no hatred, no prejudice, no anger. And in the silence, you can pour out the presence. Because when the silence is there, the presence is there. He says, it may be that you have been holding on too tightly to money. If so, you will have to learn how to release it. And by turning it loose, set in motion the flow that inevitably returns to you. What is called for is a change in attitude and a willingness to begin at any particular moment to give with the idea that there is this quarter or this dollar to send out into circulation. And the important thing is that it begins to circulate. Now, I find that these people that are in lack wait a respectable period and then ask for help again. That's how you know they missed the principle. They didn't catch it. This is not a new idea. Scripture has given us this teaching under the name of tithing. That is, the giving of one-tenth of one's income to God. Now, how do you prove that you have something? You prove that you have something by sharing, by giving it away. If I say I have $100 and $100 bill is sitting on my table, do I have it? No, I don't have it until I use it. And so if I say, okay, I'll give $10 to this charitable donation, charitable organization, then once I release that, I prove that I have it. I own it because I can give it away. It might be for some people to begin tithing a smaller amount, 5%, 4%, 3%, or 2%, or any amount as long as a specific sum or percentage is set aside, which has a priority over all other expenditures, and which is given to some impersonal purpose, not to your family. Okay, so if I give my daughter $100, I don't know why I'm stuck on $100. If I give her $20 so she can go out to eat, or no, that wouldn't work today, would it? $60 so she can go out and eat. That's not tithing. That's not giving. Giving is if I take that same $60 and give it to, well, I like the organization Tunnel to Towers. And so if I give them $60, that's impersonal. I don't get anything out of that. So you can give it in any direction you want. The point is that you begin to pour out from within. Now, it's not enough to say, well, I'm giving you this $60, aren't I something? No, that's not enough, because you're still giving it out of your sense of supply. And that's not right. The principle won't work unless you give out of God's sense of supply. So he's going to get into that. But you must understand that principle. You have to give out of an impersonal source to an impersonal source. The secret of tithing is not to give the residue, but to give the first fruits to God. And furthermore, to give these first fruits secretly wherever possible. Now, I discovered many, many years ago the wonderful value of giving my first fruits to my enemy. And by that I mean someone that I had a resentment toward. I gave my first prayers every night, my first prayers, or actually whenever I sat down, my very first prayers went for my enemy. And I discovered by giving my first fruits in prayer away, that not only did it set me free, but it began the flow of spiritual grace. After learning how easy it is to give 2 or 3% of one's income, in a short time the amount may be increased to 4 or 5%, and then eventually to 10%. Interestingly, rarely does it stop at 10%. He says, I have known 3 different people who tithe 80% of all their income. And surprising as it may seem, these people had more left to live on and with than they could possibly spend, even if they were very extravagant. And Mr. Joel here was one of those who tithed 80%. He traveled all over the world. He lived in a beautiful home in Hawaii. He never went without. And he tithed 80%. Now, I'm not telling you this so that you go out and do it, because in the beginning you'll probably still be thinking you're giving out of your own bank account, out of your personal income. And you'll go broke. However, you work with these principles. You start with your 4 or 5%. And then you discover, hey, this begins a flow. Hey, there's more coming in than ever before. Well, I can increase it now to 8 or 9 or 10%. And this should be monthly at least. He says, let me repeat this important aspect of the principle of supply. You can underline this next sentence or print it out and put it up on your mirror. Supply is not getting. Supply is giving. The bread that you cast upon the water is the bread that comes back to you. Yeah, and heaped up, pressed down, and running over. In one way or another, you must cast bread upon the waters. If you have not learned how to do this, this is your first great lesson. So, you want to know the secret of supply? Begin to pour. You can give. You can give up. You can give money. You can give clothes. You can give prayers. You can give acts of kindness. You can give a smile when you walk into the government offices where everybody's frowning. And you can give up your resentment, give up your prejudice, give up your anger toward these politicians or toward a race. Maybe you had an uncle killed in the Korean War and you have a prejudice against Asian people. Maybe you were picked on as a kid. And the people that did the picking were African Americans. So now you have a prejudice against all black people. Maybe you have a prejudice against white people because they are so arrogant. You can give up these resentments. Consciously give them up. Well, Father, I know I have always felt this way toward this race, but I'm giving it to you. You take it. They tell me that you can absorb anything. So here, you take this. Show me how to do better. Give me the love to do better. And then pour out. There's an organization in Los Angeles which helps the inner city children, many of which are African Americans, and you can give to an organization like that. It's totally impersonal. No one needs to know you're doing it. But that's a way to help you to give up your prejudice. You must not try to get. You must not try to have. You must not try to draw to you. You must learn how to let infinity flow out from you. Now, last week we talked about I am the light. I am the light. And let that light shine. This week's principle is I am supply. And let me pour out from that I am-ness. And then invisible supply will flow out. It reminds me of a comet that flows out to the edge of the universe, turns around and heads back, and takes many years to do this. You pour out from the invisible, and immediately it's at the edge of the universe, making a U-turn and headed back right for you. And when you pour out from the invisible, it starts at the edge of the universe, turns around and slowly heads to you. Only slowly, in this case, is a matter of days, sometimes minutes. As you cast your bread upon the waters, you will find the grace of God flowing into expression as the harmony of your being. Now this is true. This is true, but you must consciously do this. Consciously sit down. I am going to pour out of the invisible, of the grace that's within me, that light. Father, show me, what have I to give in my consciousness? One time we made cookies, wrapped them in a pretty napkin, put a bow around it, and took them to the Senior Citizens Center and handed them out. Oh, you should have seen the eyes, how they lit up. And we did that with our foster children so that they may learn the value of giving. If you ignore this important point in spiritual teaching, or if you think that after all it's not too important, you may very possibly miss the way. Because the longer you hold yourself in bondage to the belief that you can get something from God, just that long are you separating yourself from contact with your good. Thank you, Father. I have no desires. I need nothing but thy grace. I need no one but thee. Let me live every single minute as I am living this minute, loving this universe and loving everyone in it. I hold nothing against any man. No one can come within range of my consciousness who needs forgiving, because I have already forgiven him 70 times 7. Now, that includes presidents, dictators, even terrorists. I'm not saying that you condone what they do, any of them. I'm not saying that you help them in their causes. I'm saying you must learn to release them, so that within yourself you say, Father, forgive these people. They don't know their spiritual natures. If they did, they would act differently. And so, Father, you forgive them. I release them. You forgive them. And that is giving up. That's giving out from the center of your being. You take a moment to be still and let the silence flow out. You see, in all cases, you must pour out of the infinity within you, not out of Bob Jones' bank account. A second and equally important part of the principle of supply is that supply is invisible. You cannot see, hear, taste, touch, or smell supply. You have never seen supply. because supply does not exist in the visible realm. Supply is spirit, completely invisible and infinite in nature. So you see, the first part of the principle is to begin to pour. The second part of the principle is to recognize and realize you're pouring out of the invisible within you. You're not pouring your personal whatever. You're pouring from the invisible within you. Whether it's the silence you pour out, or whether it moves you to donate, or whether it moves you to give away. I hear on the radio sometimes cars for kids, and they're encouraging that you donate your car. Well, if you feel led to do that, do it. Hopefully you have another car or a way to catch a bus. But it'll come back. Trust me. It will come back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Until it becomes clear to you that God constitutes your individual being, you cannot understand the infinite nature of your own being, and you will always be seeking supply. The belief that money and property constitute supply has been accepted for so many years that most people rely on them for their security. And then, when through the devaluation of the currency, or through a worldwide recession or depression, they feel that their world has collapsed. Students of spiritual wisdom, that's you and I, students of spiritual wisdom must come to the realization that they have no supply outside their own being. That supply lies in something that cannot be known through the senses. Supply is the infinite invisible. Now, I suggest that you go through this chapter and underline every time he says must. Spiritual students must come to the realization they have no supply outside their own being. Supply is something within your own being. It is the truth that God constitutes your being. When you recognize God as your being, you will have no need other than to know him aright. Spiritually, yes. Theoretically, yes. Everyone has God. But if everyone had God, there would be no lack or limitation in all the world. Having God means consciously to know him aright. And that word consciously is very important. Consciously to tabernacle with him, consciously to commune with him, consciously to know him as the very eye of your being. Having that, you have the source of all supply. All right, so the secret to supply is not in saving, it's not in investing. The secret to supply is in giving, but not in giving out of your personal sense of supply. No, it's in consciously communing with the presence within and giving out of that. Because the presence is omnipresence, the presence is infinite. And you can give and give, and you cannot outgive God. Try it. Moses had God, and that is why Moses could witness manna falling from the sky when he needed it. Elijah had God, and that is why Elijah in the wilderness could be fed by ravens, or could wake up one morning and find cakes being baked right on the stones in front of him. Out of what? Out of nothing. Out of nothing visible or tangible. So that's where it gets tricky. Because that nothing is everything. That nothing is nothing visible. That nothing is everything invisible. And he said, supply is the infinite invisible. The world is losing itself in such statements as, God will take care of it, God will do it, God will do that. And God doesn't do it at all. It is only in proportion to the God experience that it is done. And what is that God experience? That's the experience you have when you turn within, empty yourself of self, empty yourself of resentments, stand stock still, and feel that inner movement of the presence. Yes, yes, you may say to yourself as you read this, yes, all this sounds good on paper, but how can I arrive at the consciousness of that supply which is continuously eluding me? When you perceive the infinity of God, and that God in its infinity is closer to you than breathing, you can then begin to claim for yourself an infinite abundance. In making such a claim, you will not be insulting your intelligence, because what you are now claiming is the presence of God in you, the presence of infinite, omnipresent God. All right. It is not easy for anyone to drop completely from his mind all concern as to where his next automobile is coming from, his next vacation, or in some cases, even his next meal. It is not easy to put into practice the Master's teaching to take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. But, nevertheless, one of the most important steps in developing a consciousness of supply is to drop these concerns from your mind, because the forms of good are but the added things. If you do not have a consciousness of supply, you will not have the symbols, the added things. First, here we go again, there must be the consciousness of supply, and then the symbols follow. When you have the consciousness of the presence of God wherever you are, when you have the realization that the place whereon you stand is holy ground, and that, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine, when you have that consciousness, the symbols appear as they are needed. Whatever it may be, it appears as needed, since it is but the symbol of, or outer expression of, an inner supply. Again, let me repeat. Supply itself can never be cognized through your senses. Supply is God. Supply is Spirit. Supply is the presence of the Lord within you. Supply is a life force that works through you. All right, so here we were thinking supply are these checks that we get, or this paycheck, or these dividends, or the return on this investment. But that's not supply. No, that's a personal sense of supply. And that has to be swallowed up in an impersonal sense of supply, so that you feel spirit. You feel the presence, a life force, the invisible supply. What further proof does the spiritually receptive person need of the truth of this than to visualize a fruit tree in the off season when there is no fruit and when there are not even blossoms on the tree? Because the tree is barren. Are you going to cut it down? Well, no, you say. Why not? There's no supply there, no visible supply. To all appearances, the tree is barren. Ah, but you know better than that. You know that there is a life force operating in and through that tree, which will later appear as the blossoms and then later as the fruit. You are not misled by the appearance of a barren tree into believing that the tree has no supply of fruit or that the tree is useless. Yet isn't that what we do with our lives? I'm experiencing lack. I have no supply. So I go out to get. The very opposite of the spiritual principle. But that's what we're taught. We're taught that. We're taught that we go out, we get an education, we get gainful employment, we get promotions, we get the bonuses, we get the higher pay, the higher salaries. And that's what we're taught to do. How different a world it would be if all of us were taught the truth while we were growing up. Honey, you have everything you will ever need, and more. You have enough to share 12 baskets full left over. You have enough, and greater things than these shall you do. You have enough to feed 5,001. So never worry, never fear. You carry your abundance with you. Now, what if we had been taught that? There would be no wars, would there? No wars at all. Why not apply this same principle to your own life and affairs, and trust it, regardless of the state of your visible supply at any given moment? That invisible, infinite, and all-loving life force would still be operating in your consciousness. With a little patience, the blossoms and the fruit will appear again in the form of dollar bills or whatever the need is. All that is necessary is the recognition of this truth. Believe this or not, as you choose. And that's basically what I say to these people that write to me. You know, believe it or not, this is the way. You must begin to pour. You have no money? Fine. Pour out love. Pour out silence. Give up resentments. Give up anger. Give up jealousy. Pour out acts of kindness. pour out a smile even. Pour out helping an elderly person with their groceries, carrying them to the car. I caught a lady doing that the other day. I was in my car getting ready to leave, and there was an elderly man struggling with bottles of water to get them into his car, and before I could respond, this lady pulled up on a motorcycle, got off the motorcycle, and went over and started helping him load the water. And I honked my horn and gave her a thumbs up. She was pouring out service. And don't tell me you can't pour out service, because I know you can. So believe this or not, as you choose. But, you ask, why must I struggle endlessly with this problem of lack? Can it be because your consciousness is not attuned to the invisible, but only to the visible? Can it be that most of the time you have been trying and are still trying to create supply from the visible? Now, before we started this chapter, if I would have said, what is supply? Would your mind have turned to the visible? Supply is this stack of money I have here. Supply is my properties and my automobiles and my jewelry and my cash. Supply is this check that I have here. Or would your mind have instantly turned to the invisible? Ah, supply is this invisible light that I must let shine. Well, that should tell you where you are. And that's what he's saying. Could it be because your consciousness is not attuned to the invisible, but only to the visible? If anyone wants more dollar bills, he must do his multiplying in the invisible. And the manner of it? Realize that God is infinite and that your supply is as infinite as God. Because your supply is God. Your supply is this light. You got here with it. But nobody taught you that you must pour out of the invisible. Now you know. You know the secret of supply. Supply is invisible. And you must allow it to escape. Only as you pluck the fruit and gather the blossoms does the life force begin to work of multiplication, pushing out twice as much as before. Now that reminds me of an orange tree I had. It was in my backyard. I moved into this house and there was a wonderful orange tree. It was a navel oranges, no seeds. And I ate one of the oranges that was there. I plucked it and I ate it. Oh, it was marvelous. Sweet, big, no seeds. Wonderful. This was out in California. And I stood before that tree and I thanked that tree. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Wonderful. And this tree had 3 or 4 oranges on it. The following year, there was 36 oranges. 36! Apparently, pouring out love to the tree, it responded. Your supply becomes evident only in proportion that you love your neighbor. Give out love. Give out forgiveness. Give out cooperation. But give always without seeking a return. The true spiritual light gives out of the fullness of a heart of givingness. Looks like we might run over. All right, now, to understand this is to understand one of the major healing principles of the Infinite Way. Your consciousness of truth determines your supply. Not some God somewhere, not a Christ somewhere, not a spirit somewhere. Your consciousness, your developed state of consciousness. Now, what's a developed state of consciousness? That's the fellow or the gal who sits down to meditate, goes within consciously to pour out, and in their meditation feels the presence, feels omnipresence, recognizes immediately this is the light that must shine. This is the invisible grace that must flow out. This is the invisible supply that must pour out. And then rest in that. And when you open your eyes, you get up and you go out and pour out. The consciousness of the fishermen disciples was a developed consciousness. The consciousness of the consciousness of Saul of Tarsus developed into the consciousness of Saint Paul. The secret is that the source of your supply is your very own consciousness of God as supply, your developed state of consciousness. Sooner or later, you will be placed in a position where you will have to rely on your own developed state of consciousness, always remembering that the developed consciousness is God consciousness unfolding as your individual consciousness. It is then that you begin to drop, in a measure, the personal sense of supply. You see, your personal sense of supply is this idea that I have this bank account upon which I can draw, and I can share it with others. It's mine. The impersonal sense of supply, the consciousness of invisible supply, is what we just talked about. Sitting down in your meditation and communing with this presence. The presence of light. The presence of supply. The fullness of God's glory, not just a part of it, but the fullness, is now mine, swallowing up mortality with its limited sense of supply, and clothing me with immortality, swallowing up my finite sense of self, that I may be clothed upon with God's infinity, God's grace, God's presence, and God's power. I am invisible, my supply is invisible, and I carry it with me wherever I go. So your personal sense of supply on this path must be swallowed up in conscious awareness of God's invisible supply. No big deal, huh? You know, I realized a long, long time ago, 75, I think it was, that, yes, it was 75. I realized that supply is invisible, and there's no end to it. You could take me, drop me with a parachute, hopefully, from an airplane over, let's say, Croatia, or India, or even Afghanistan, And in a period of time, the consciousness that I have would begin to outpicture. And by pouring out even a little acts of kindness, in a short period of time, I would have everything I have now and even more, because it grows, it multiplies. And because it's not the place, it's not the town, it's not the government, it's consciousness. You take it with you wherever you go. And that's how I know when I leave here and continue this journey in the invisible, all of my needs will be met. All of them. The need for love, the need for work, service, the need for fulfillment, all of that. Some, and particularly some on the path, are more consciously aware of God's presence manifest as form. When you comprehend that a realization of God's presence results in the actual manifestation and expression of abundance, you will not believe that through some miraculous treatment or prayer anything has been increased. You will understand that what has happened is that you have become more aware of that which already existed from the beginning in its fullness. Now, before you came here, you were somewhere. You say, in the invisible, yes. And you had this consciousness of supply. And you brought it with you. You brought your supply with you. Because supply is not anything out here that you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. Supply is in here. It's the invisible. It's that invisible light that must shine, that you must allow to flow out. Stop trying to live your personal life and allow this light to live you. The secret, he says, lies in the acknowledgement of God as omnipresent. More than that, as omnipresence itself. The presence of your very being, and therefore the presence of infinity. Your awareness of the presence of infinity reveals infinity where the lack has been appearing. Everything that appears is made out of the substance of the invisible, and therefore it is infinite. There is no such thing as an increase or a decrease. There is only infinity expressing itself. If you are not the recipient of the bounty of infinity, it is not because infinity is absent. It is because you lack an awareness of infinity. So you see, it's your awareness. Your conscious awareness is consciousness. Your conscious awareness of this divine indwelling presence, which is standing at the door and knocking, wanting you to open the door and allow it to pour out. Your conscious awareness of that is your consciousness of supply. In proportion as the consciousness of God is demonstrated, that presence of God appears in the form necessary to your experience of the moment, sometimes in the most miraculous ways. Amen. To whom will this happen? To the person consciously aware of God's presence. The person living, moving, and having his being consciously in God. The Master had only one realization, the presence of the Father within. And his consciousness of the presence of the Father within appeared outwardly as the multiplication of fishes, as healings, and as the raising of the dead. So become still and receptive until the word begins to flow, and you will know the meaning of harmony and of infinity. Watch the miracle that takes place in your life as you learn to relax in the realization that the infinite nature of God makes God the only is, and that even the forms as which God appears must be infinite. Infinity is the measure of God. If you demonstrate the realization of God's presence, you have God's presence appearing as infinity in infinite forms of good. The presence of God is itself the substance of all good. All right, so this is a new concept of supply, and it is a concept of invisible supply, and your concept of mortal supply must be swallowed up in the immortal concept of infinite invisible supply. Mortality is swallowed up of immortality. See, these are changes, sometimes little tweaks, sometimes gigantic cataclysmic realizations within. But they are changes in your consciousness so that you develop a consciousness of invisible infinite supply. Now, I know this won't happen overnight. I told you before about my experience with the neighbor down the street when I was, 15 or 16, and how she said that I could increase my supply if I took these coins and washed my hands with the coins in the water. Well, that was mental. It was still turning my attention toward the invisible. And so it was baby steps. Later, I learned that, through meditation, I learned that there is a presence. And it became very real as an experience that night in my chair with practicing the presence open in my lap and me closing my eyes and resting back in the Father. And suddenly I wasn't alone. There was another presence there. Well, I learned that that was the presence of God. That was what I call Father. Now, that presence I learned later is my supply. Nothing out here is supply. That invisible presence, that infinite presence, is my supply. And I learned that I carry it with me within. I learned that the Father within is my supply, and wherever I go, it will flow as long as I don't dam it up by looking out here, as long as I keep pouring. And I do to the best of my ability. That's what these talks are. I don't get paid for these talks, but I recognized a long time ago, if I pour out, then I have. I prove that I have by giving it away. And so I'm giving it away to you today and every Sunday that I sit down to make these talks. I pour it out to you, my friends. And if you are my enemy, you can have it too. And I do pray for the political people that I have a problem with, because I don't want to have any problems. I just want to feel this presence and extend this presence to all. And so I do pray, and I do release them. I release whatever appears as an enemy. Go in peace. Go in peace. Peace be unto you. All right. So, the secret to supply is pouring out from within. Recognizing it's not your personal supply that you're pouring. It's the infinite invisible, God's presence. You're pouring that out. In your giving, in your giving up, in your loving, really. And so, last week you learned, I am the light of the world, and let that light shine. This week you learned, I am the love of the Father, let that love flow. And again, don't be so concerned with money. Don't think, well, I've got to give money and I don't have any. Take your vision off of that. That's a personal sense of stuff. Come up higher. Pour out your prayers. Pour out your blessings. Pour out your service. Pour out your love in a letter to someone. Just telling them you love them, wanting nothing in return. I told you, many, many, many years ago, I was working a job, and I felt that I needed to pour out. So, this idea came to me, and I took a $10 bill, or 20, whatever it was, and I wrote, because I love you. And I put that in the envelope with the money. And I opened the phone book and I closed my eyes and pointed. And the name and address that I saw was what I put on the check. I mean on the envelope. And I mailed it off. And I don't know what happened, but I suspect that the people felt just a little bit of joy when they opened that up. And like he said, do it so that you won't be found out. And probably I wrecked it now because I told all you about it. But these, I just give you examples of ways that you can pour out. Okay? Ways that I've done it. All right, we have reached an hour. Our time is up. Like the psychiatrist says, our time is up. And so, I don't feel there's any more to say on this. I hope you will actually put it into your life. Practice it. But don't forget the second part, which is really important. Yes, pour out. But recognize, realize, this is from the infinite invisible. I pour out of God's grace. To whomsoever I feel led to. Okay? I love you. I thank you. And let us live this way this week. And see what happens. Blessings.